Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to The Constitutionalist, episode number 2. We're going to start the show just a little bit different tonight, out of respect for our fallen heroes, soldiers. Memorial Day was yesterday, as you all know. Out of respect to them, for 1 minute. I wanted to take that moment to recognize our fallen soldiers throughout our history of the Constitution and in this great country that we live in. And I'm honored to do that for our fallen soldiers. As you all know, I am your host, Jeremy Johnson. I'm here with the co-host, Travis Bull Johnson. He is the chair of the Constitutional Republic Party in Minnesota. And hopefully we can help him expand that to all 50 states. But Travis, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. I've been kind of looking forward to this show, pal, because I mean I'm a huge supporter and believer of the Second Amendment, and I just think there's so much about it I don't always realize.
It goes a lot deeper than what it just says, you know, and people, between social media and their narrow vision of what it really means, not calling anybody stupid, because I certainly don't understand all of it either, and I'm one of those sometimes narrow-minded gentlemen, but... the Second Amendment is probably one of the most important amendments that we have in our Constitution, because if that gets taken away, the rest of your rights get taken away rather quickly. So let's just jump right into it tonight. And I know Bull that you have. A lot of insight into this, and I can't wait to hear your insight, and I'm sure the audience will agree with me once we get going with this. So to get it started, I'm going just to go out and read the Second Amendment, because there's so much controversy surrounding the Second Amendment as of late. And let me just add, before we read this Second Amendment, I want to remind everybody that the Second Amendment was amended in 1791 by James Madison. And it stood for over 240 years, or almost 240, right? 240, yeah, no, 230, two, okay, my math is off. Anyway, it's been a long time. It stood for over 200 years. Let's go there. And the fact that it stood for over 200 years and now in current society, it's now all of a sudden a problem. You have to ask yourself the question, and I'm not debating the fact whether there's an issue with violence or any of that, but everybody wants to blame the gun, or they want to blame the Second Amendment. I want you to understand something. This has stood intact for over 200 years. If we have a problem with any of the amendments, whether it's free speech or the Second Amendment or any of it, then we probably have a bigger problem with society issues rather than the actual Constitution. So that's just my opening statement there. But so here's what the Second Amendment reads, and then I'm going to push it right over to Bull, and he's going to go into a deeper discussion with this. And I think you're actually it's going to educate you, because I was just educated pre-show. So the Second Amendment states, a well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That is what the Second Amendment states. Basically, in short, the Second Amendment states that as an American citizen, you have the individual right to arm yourself. The amendment also firmly establishes that the government cannot infringe on that right. So with that being said, that is the Second Amendment. That's how it's read. That's how it's stated. Let's go right to Travis Bull Johnson, and he's going to take it from here, and I'm going to sit back, and I want to listen to this because I'm genuinely interested. And he's got to unmute his phone.
Every freaking time. Every time. Now, one of the things I want to point out with the Second Amendment is I think most of us will agree punctuation is often important when we try to understand what the intent of something is. For the Second Amendment, there's actually four different variations that were ratified by the states. And the only difference between them was punctuation and commas. Some of them had no commas, so it just ran all the way through. The one that I'm going to base most of what I'm going to talk about is the version that the District of Delaware ratified, because that is what the one that is preserved in the National Archives, and it is also the one used by the Supreme Court when they decided District of Columbia versus Heller. And that's a well-regulated militia, comma, being necessary to the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Again, that has a very different meaning depending on your punctuation. One of the things I keep trying to remind people, when the Constitution and the Bill of Rights was passed, this only pertained to the federal government. The purpose of the Constitution had everything to do with restricting the federal government. What does that mean? That means for the first 100-plus years of this country, the states could actually ban your ownership or limit your ownership of firearms. And it was completely constitutional. In 1833, the Supreme Court actually specifically ruled that the Constitution only held to the federal government. It was not until after the Civil War and the 14th Amendment that was passed was something that's called the Incorporation Doctrine was used, which basically went off of the due process of the 14th Amendment Clause and stated that, yes, the states are held requirements as the federal government for some of the Bill of Rights, specifically the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Fourth, and the Eighth Amendment. The Fifth and the Sixth Amendment, it was kind of, okay, you know what, some of it's included, some of it's not. And the Third and the Seventh, they said, no, that only still refers to the federal government. Why is this important? Is because they could probably still argue the point that the Constitution, on this, as it refers to the Second Amendment, only pertains to the federal government, because that was the original intent, probably the one weakness that we have in the Second Amendment. I personally believe that the Second Amendment is very specific in the fact that it is meant for the population to keep a tyrannical government in check. Therefore, we should really have no limitations to the type of arms that we are allowed. We should be allowed the same weapons of war as the government, as the police, or anybody else is entitled to, because it is specifically for the intent. It's not meant for hunting. It's not meant for self-defense. It is meant to keep a government in check.
And may I add something here? In this statement, and Travis can He can agree with it. He can disagree with it. This does not represent any Travis's thoughts. I want to say something because Joe Biden has said this numerous times in his presidency, and one in particular that I remember very clearly when he stood on the podium and he said, "We the people means we the government." I want to correct President Biden respectfully that the "we the people" does not mean "we the government." It means exactly what it states, "we the people." That means me and Bull and all of you. We are the Constitution. We are America. We are the people. That is exactly why the Constitution was written, to protect us from a tyrannical government. Now, I'm going to refrain from sharing my opinion on further embellishing in that, but I want you to understand something. The Second Amendment, I hear a lot of the arguments stating, well, they wrote that when they had, you know, black powder and all that, you know, they didn't have the guns that we have today. The people back in those days had the same exact weaponry that the government had. So if you want to use that argument that, well, they didn't have AR-15s and people, oh, that's an assault rifle. No, it's an Aerolite. It's the name of the company. But they did not. They had the same weaponry as the government back in the 1700s and the 1800s, all the way up probably till when, probably World War One. Bull, I might be wrong on that, but the people had the same weaponry. So that argument is kind of a weak argument, in my opinion. I don't know. Do you want to add to that, Bull?
Well, I may be mistaken here, but I think you can actually go all the way to 1980. Ronald Reagan, first one who outlawed the machine gun. Believe it or not, the Republican stalwart, Ronald Reagan, was one of the first ones to make the a machine gun, as we know it, illegal. Now, what a lot of people don't realize is at the time of the Constitution, there was actually, I believe, two variations of a machine gun in production. So, yes, machine guns were actually available during that time frame.
Yeah, I guess if you're saying it that way, if you look back in, like, Bonnie and Clyde era, they had the Tommy guns. if you look back in history, that's a very interesting fact. I guess I see that, and that's what I love about this show, that, you know, even though it's our only second episode, but I even learn stuff. And that's the wonderful part about this show, is for all of us to learn together. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, not to disrupt the flow of the show, I want you to know that there is a guest call-in number. If you're listening online and you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts or your opinions, you are more than welcome to. Me or Bull will most definitely take your questions or comments and engage in a civil discussion with you. That's what this is all about. The guest call-in number is 516-387-1733. And when you get through and you can start hearing us over your phone, just press the number one. That lets us know that you want to get on live on air and ask a question, whether it be me or Bull. We'll take your comments or your questions or your opinions. You're welcome to get on here and share them. If you didn't get that phone number the first time I said it, I'll say it one more time, and we'll probably do it a couple more times before we end the show. We appreciate audience participation. It helps move the show along, and it also helps me and Bull were just talking about this pre-show. You may bring up a point that we didn't think about, and we're always open to new ideas. So that guest call-in number for one more time is 516-387-1733. And if you get through, just make sure you press the number one. Again, that'll get you through to my switchboard, and I'll see that you are waiting to talk. and I don't have to use your name. I'll just use the last four digits of your number. I won't out you in any way. As long as you're respectful, you don't have to agree with this. Just come on and share your opinion and your thoughts. That's what it's all about. So moving on from that, in our description of the show, I did put where you can follow Travis or myself. You can follow Bull Johnson at on Twitter at ConsRepUS. That's a capital C, capital R, and then capital U-S. ConsRep, ConsRepUS. Just look at the description of the show. It's all spelled out for you. I did misspell my name for my Facebook blog. It's the Disrespected Trucker personal blog. But you can follow us on there, and Bull, he posts stuff all the time with the Constitutional Republic Party. So back to the Second Amendment. What people need to understand is once you lose the Second Amendment, they're already attacking the freedom of speech, because I've been banned off of numerous platforms, and according to Twitter files, that was ordered by the United States federal government. And that alone is a violation of the Constitution by them. But I hear a lot of people say, well, how are you going to defend yourself? Even the President of the United States has said, we have F-15 fighters. You don't have F-15 fighters. I mean, to me, that's a little, going overboard. But people say, how are you going to defend yourself against what weaponry that the United States government has? That's not the point. It's the fact that you are allowed to own a firearm to defend yourself, whether it be from somebody trying to break into your home and cause harm to you, or a tyrannical government, which it was pretty blatantly stated when they wrote the Constitution. Because you have to remember that our forefathers just had a revolution against a tyrannical government, and that was in the forefront of their brains. Like they knew, we have to write this document to protect future generations from this ever happening again. And again, I try to hold back my opinions on today's government, but that's the intention of our forefathers anyway. What would you like to add to that, Travis?
Oh, a couple of things. I mean, the people don't always realize it, but yes, our rights are threatened every day. I mean, give you an example. Right here in Minnesota, they actually have a Department of Human Rights for the state of Minnesota that has an option that if you want to go on there and you can report that if you experience or witness an incident of discrimination or bias in your opinion, you can go on there and file a report, and they will actually investigate these supposedly instances of biases and input it onto a database that they have, they're holding at the state. Now, this is a blatant way of trying to limit our free speech.
So let's talk about, for a second, red flag laws involving the Second Amendment. And the thing I mentioned to you about the pistol ban, what is that called again?
Brace?
We're talking about a pre-show.
The pistol brace?
Yeah, the pistol brace. This is an executive order that Joe Biden just issued and told the ATF that they need to start enforcing. I'm going to let Travis get into the red flag laws and the pistol brace. Right now, because I think it's important that you hear a political candidate, what his thoughts are on the Constitution, and that's the whole point of doing this show, not to hear me, because I have my own show on Thursday nights. I do this mainly to promote Bull, and so everybody can hear exactly where he stands according to our Constitution and the Constitutional Republic Party in Minnesota. So, Bull, without further ado, I'll just turn it right over.
First of all, let's touch on red flag laws. Red flag laws have one principal issue with them. They don't offer due process before your rights are taken away. I think we can all agree that there are situations when people's rights are taken away, but such as criminals. But the criminals have the option of they go through due process. They have the chance to defend themselves before their rights are taken away. Red flag laws do not allow that. They basically, to quote Donald Trump, take the guns away now, due process later. And you basically have to go back and fight to have your rights given back to you. And you have to prove that yes, I can have a gun. And that's just fundamentally an issue with the way our country and our laws in our Constitution reads. You're entitled to due process. I mean, and I understand, and you know, this is one of the hard things for people to understand, is I do understand where the left is coming from with the red flag laws, because you know what, there are people out there who should not have guns. They're not mentally all there. They've got other issues. They may have but the thing is, you cannot take those guns away from them without giving them due process. And part of the issue is we have, in this country, we have no method to do due process in a timely manner to be able to implement red flag laws. I mean, because if there's somebody who shouldn't have a gun, but it's going to take 3 to 4 months for you to get a hearing on whether this person's competent or not, what's the right answer? And I mean, and by our Constitution, the right answer is you cannot take that gun away from that person until they have had their due process. Take away that right from somebody just because somebody makes an accusation, or somebody has a personal axe to grind. And those are just the ways these red flag laws can be utilized by either by people who don't have the that are using them, they're weaponizing it, much like the federal government does with its police forces and so forth. They weaponize it against their enemies, like we have seen recently with FBI and so forth. So the question remains, how do you balance that due process, keeping people guns out of the hands of people who really legitimately should not have them? And the answer is, right now there is no way to do it. So you have to err on the side of people's rights rather than on the side of operating out of a possible sense of loss. But yeah, I mean, and this is a question I was asked quite a bit on the political trail of, hey, where do you find? I mean, how do you find that balance? How do you protect people from people who should not have guns, but at the same time protect the rights of those law-abiding gun owners? Fortunately, right now there's just not a way to do both. So the difference between the right and the left is we just choose both different sides of that equation. I mean, where the constitutionalists like myself fall on the side of the Constitution, you have to have due process. And the left and the people who are more interested in being safe, giving up their rights for safety, fall on the let's take it first and then do the due process, give them a chance to get them back later.
I don't mean to interrupt you, Bull, but I do see that we have a caller on our switchboard. If you are listening, through your phone and you are trying to get through and you want to come live on air to ask a question, share your opinion, your thoughts, all you have to do is press that number one on your keypad. That lets us know on my switchboard that you want to come live on air. So if you are listening, okay, I see that caller does want to come on. So I'm going to bring them on, Bull. And 9296, I'm going to bring you live on air with Jeremy and Travis Bull Johnson. And give me 2 seconds here, and it'll switch on. And you are live on air, 9296. What would you like to add to the conversation?
Hey, Bull, it's Nate Wiesenberg. How's it going?
All right, man.
Good. I just got a message that you're on, so I thought I'd call in. I hear you're talking about the Second Amendment.
Bull, can you hear Bull?
Yeah, I can hear him. I'm sorry.
No, I you're talking about the Second Amendment, so I called in to say hi and talk a little bit. That's all.
By all means, give us your thoughts, man.
Well, we just had a legislative session that didn't change a whole lot of things, so that's good. It could have been really bad, but there's Democrat legislators that also own guns and believe somewhat in the Second Amendment. Part of the problem with the Constitution is there's people in the left-wing party that are so crazy and they don't believe the Constitution exists. So if we don't use the Constitution, it goes away. And I think that's what some people don't understand, or maybe they do understand, they just don't grasp how to do it. We have a Constitution, so that means you're allowed to do those things. And if you don't do them, it'll disappear because you're going to have more people not following the Constitution than are following the Constitution. Does that make sense?
Oh, by all means. I mean, it's like anything else. You don't use it, you're going to lose it.
Right. So I think that's maybe what guns, I'm just saying you're allowed to own guns is what I'm saying. So anyone who's listening, you know, we have a Second Amendment that allows you to own firearms, and there's currently legislators that want to take all your guns away, all your firearms away. Firearms aren't for hunting. And that's what they say is, well, you're still going to be able to go deer hunting. Well, I don't have firearms to protect me from deer. I have firearms to protect me from a tyrannical government. So if you don't say you want to keep your guns and fight for them, that goes away. Now, as far as I heard you talking about red flag, what something I fought for when we were fighting this law is we already have laws where if you're harm to yourself, I can bring you to the emergency room and there's a 72-hour hold. So if that's if that's something that would happen, could bring you to a hospital or somewhere, some place that's legally obligated to hold you, and they would have to hold you for 72 hours. And in that time, I could take your firearms away, make sure that when you're let out, you're not going to harm yourself. And then when you're fine, you know, we talk about, we get your firearms back to you. But like you were saying.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but what did you say your name was again?
Nathan Wiesenberg.
Yeah, okay.
That's Senator Wiesenberg. Nathan Wiesenberg, by the way.
Jeez. Anyway, sorry.
Nate's actually a state senator for Minnesota up in the Cannon Falls area.
So
yeah, he was actually there on the front lines fighting during this last session.
Yep. So one thing that, you know, I brought up is we don't need red flag because we already have those laws. So now potentially it's supposed to be a family member, but that's loosely interpreted by some members of certain parties. Anybody could call if they were once involved with you and say, I'm worried about them, and law enforcement could potentially come and take your guns away. Now, there's many sheriffs that say they're not going to do that. That's what I've been told by many sheriffs, and I've heard from many sheriffs. Is that what you've heard, Bull?
Oh, yeah, I know there's a lot of them that are saying that. One is in my county, still kind of wiffle-waffling about it, but we're still working on him.
Yep. But they don't, I mean, anyone who believes in the Constitution isn't going to come and take your guns away, and they don't want to, because they don't want to send their officers into harm's way, because they don't know what happens when they're going to show up and try to confiscate your firearms. Now, it would be, you know, try to bring you in, and then they would take your guns, but that's illegal. So, you know, as you said, we don't want people to be harming people, but we have a constitutional right to protect ourselves from people. So,
and that includes the government.
Right. Well, especially the government.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, what was that? What was that pistol law that went into that's going into effect at 1201 again? I keep on forgetting the term on it. And what I wanted to know what Mr. Westenberg thinks about that pistol
brace.
Yeah, the pistol brace
one?
Law.
I think it's ridiculous. In my opinion, it's not harming anybody. Anybody that's going to harm someone with a firearm is going to do it regardless. They're criminals. So if you're going to hurt someone with a firearm, if your intention is to kill a bunch of people, you're a criminal. You're not following the law. And you can get firearms from, when I say anywhere, I think Chicago or across the border, or, you know, I'm not selling firearms to drug dealers or gang members, but, you know, you can hurt people in many manners. So this is just a gun grab, and they want to register firearms.
My question to that is, and to our audience, a pistol
mm-hmm.
brace. Have you ever heard anybody? Have you ever heard the mainstream media or any politician for that matter? Have you ever heard them talk about a pistol brace actually committing a mass shooting?
No.
I haven't. I've never heard the term until I was watching it today that they're banning pistol braces, that there was an executive order issued by Biden, and
yeah.
He sent that right on down the line to a weaponized form of our government called the ATF and told them to enforce it. Now, under the Constitution, the ATF, just for the fact that if they start enforcing that, would be unconstitutional. Am I right on that, or am I wrong on that?
I would say you're absolutely right.
So
yeah.
if I'm right on that, and the ATF, in fact, starts enforcing a ban on pistol braces and starts issuing felonies to law-abiding citizens, if they are in violation of our Constitution, would that, under our Constitution, warrant criminal prosecution, at the very least, them losing their position at the ATF?
Whoever the ATF would find violation,
fortunately,
they
have qualified immunity.
Sorry, guys. There's a 2-second delay in here, so nobody's trying to speak over or talk over somebody else. It's just they don't start hearing you until they start talking. It's a little, it sucks, but you just
Nick,
try to roll
ahead.
With it the best you can. Yeah, go ahead, Nate.
So I think, you know, if something like that would happen, you would have to then go to court and fight for your, you know, your Second Amendment right, which this has been happening recently, and we have been winning because it's a constitutionally protected right. Now, that takes, you know, money and time, but, you know, there are people that are more than happy to fight for our Second Amendment right and either pro bono or probably fundraise to do that. You had said something, and it triggered a memory. You know, I'm trying to figure out what you were saying with the can you say what you said again just a little bit?
About the ATF, anybody enforcing that law is unconstitutional, and therefore should they be criminally charged for violating the Constitution? At the very least, should they be removed from their position at the ATF? Is that what you were talking about?
Think you would fight it. I don't know if they'd lose their position with the ATF, but I think that you wouldn't get charged. Now, I can't say they should lose their position because I'm not going to be the final say in that. But if you're violating the Constitution, you shouldn't have that job. No.
Yeah. What their they would be protected by qualified immunity, because again. Mm-hmm. Their argument is that the pistol brace is not a firearm; it's an accessory, and there's no rule against them legal as far as them being able to regulate firearm accessories. That is part of the argument. Now, 5 days ago or 6 days ago, the Fifth Circuit put a hold on this ban. I don't know if that's been overturned in the last few days or not.
I remember what I was going to say now. In Minnesota, now that we have to register our firearms, or when you buy a firearm, it has to go through the NICS program, even if it's a transfer between yourself and myself. One group of people that does not have to register their firearms are felons. So if you are a felon... Yeah. With a firearm, if you're a felon because of firearms, because that would be incriminating under the Fifth Amendment. So now felons don't have to register their firearms, but law-abiding citizens do.
So that really sounds like a Keith Ellison a policy, if you ask my honest opinion. But
yeah,
I just want to stop for 1 second, ladies and gentlemen. If you just you just heard that right. Like I'm sitting here. I didn't know that either. But like I'll get surprised right along with the audience here because I don't know all of this stuff. I don't claim to know all of this stuff. But it's so great to have an actual representative call on here and let us know what is happening, especially in the great state of Minnesota. It's still a great state. We just have we got some major problems, but. So a law-abiding citizen, if you heard this right, and if I heard this right, they have to register a transfer of a weapon, but a felon does not because it violates a felon's Fifth Amendment right. Did I hear that correctly?
You heard that correctly.
I'm going to change the name of this show to George Orwell, 1984. Lord Almighty.
Yep.
How does this? How do we allow this to continue to happen? That's my question.
Well, we've got a lot. You know what, Bull, go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead, man. I'll go in a different direction.
I was going to say, we've got really good snake tongue politicians that tell you one thing and then they don't do it. And that's one way. Also the media, you never hear the truth from the media ever. Quit watching the news. And it's hard to know exactly what's going on, but the news is just giving you what one perception of what's actually really happening.
I have a radio show on Thursday nights, and I've said that same thing. And I promise, Bull, I wouldn't get too far into my opinions on this show, just because I'm a pretty opinionated person. But if you folks that are listening, if you understand that mainstream media has talking points that are put up on the prop, what the hell's that thing they read. They read from
teleprompt.
Yeah, thank you. So they read off this. This message is sent out to every single one of their affiliates. And if people would understand that mainstream media, and not to get too deep into this either, because we're trying to discuss the Second Amendment, but I want to make a point here that mainstream media owns 90%, I believe, of all of the media in the country. And that includes your local news stations, your local newspapers. They're all affiliated somehow through a certain news source. So when the representative says, stop watching the news, I have been preaching that religiously for the last, I would say, 2.5 years. I stopped watching the news myself for 2.5 years ago. I turned it on one day because I subscribed to Netflix because my girlfriend likes to watch Netflix when I'm gone, which is fine. But I realized that, hey, they got free news on here. And I the word news to me now, when I hear the word news, it makes me cringe because it's not news, it's propaganda. But so I clicked on it, and she says, what are you doing? I said, I want to see what's on the news. I just want to see what they're saying. And I was into it for about 3 minutes, and I was screaming at the TV that they're liars. I just wanted to give you a quick example. I don't want to embellish on that. I don't want to tell you, anything else. It was just a quick, funny story that I wanted to share with you guys all. Bull, what were you going to add to this conversation? I know you wanted to jump in here.
One thing I want to add on this is how the government utilizes the Second Amendment to get people to plead guilty on lesser charges. They may be innocent completely, but they use that threat of, if you go to court, felony, you're found guilty, you lose the right to own a gun the rest of your life. This was actually used on me when I was in the military. I was going up for an Article 15, which is basically non-judicial punishment. Now, they give you an option when you go for an Article 15. You can either do an Article 15, which is basically you go in front of the commander. The commander decides whether you're innocent or guilty, and you live with whatever he says, or you can go to the court-martial. However, if you go to a court-martial and you're found guilty, you will be found guilty of a felony. Because any violation of the UCMJ, Uniform Code of Military Justice, is a felony. So that was one of the tools that they would use to keep people from fighting for their innocence, is the fact that, well, if you do this and found guilty, you're going to lose your right to have a firearm the rest of your life because you're a convicted felon. Or you can't vote the rest of your life because you're now a convicted felon. Should people who are found guilty of a felony that is not a violent crime or a firearm crime lose their right to own a firearm?
That's a question I wanted to bring up tonight. And since we have Representative Wessenberg on with us, I want you to answer this question too. There's guidelines with the Second Amendment. Like Bull just brought up, a felony. If you are convicted of a felony, you're not allowed to vote. You're not allowed to own a firearm.
Well, you can vote now.
You can vote now.
Oh, can you? No, they changed
and
that. Okay.
You'll be allowed. In Minnesota, you'll be allowed to own a firearm also.
Will you?
Okay. Well, the other one was domestic assault. If you've ever been convicted of domestic assault, you're not allowed to own a firearm. And that may have changed, too, without my knowledge. But to add on to Bull's story, I was also prosecuted, and they used the Second Amendment and the voting rights against me in order to plead guilty. And then they said, as soon as you complete the terms of the court, we will drop that down to a gross misdemeanor, and you will regain your civil rights. I at that time I was a hunter. I hunted with my grandfather, and didn't want to lose my Second Amendment rights because I used a gun to go hunting, and they used that as leverage to get me to plead guilty to something. It was either a third degree felony. It's a long story. It sounds way worse than what it is, and I'm not going to get into it on this show, but I pled guilty to it, And within 2.5 years, my civil rights were just I got them back, and nobody said a word. But that's not right that the judicial system, local prosecutors, DAs, use that as leverage just to get that notch under their belt for a win, when they're blatantly violating your civil rights and your constitutional rights. But on that note, I want Representative Westenberger to, why don't you go into what we just talked about as leverage? It kind of ties into the red flag laws in a sense, but they also take away. Now you guys said that your voting rights, you still have your voting rights, but is it still a law that if you get convicted of a violent or a felony of any type or domestic abuse, that you lose your Second Amendment rights? Is that am I correct on that?
There was a lot that just changed this year. We went from let's say you served 10 years. If you're good, you could maybe get out in 7.5 on good behavior. Now they want to, break that down to 5 years and no parole. So when you get out, you're not even serving parole. Parole is part of your sentence. If you're on good behavior, you get out, you're in society, but you're still have to follow the rules. Well, now when you get out on parole, you can vote. And when you're done, they want to expunge your record. So when your record gets expunged, you're good to go. So, it's currently a gray area, because it depends on, did you get arrested for stealing your, 500 of your neighbor's oak trees, or did you get arrested for killing somebody with an axe? And right now, they're kind of both under the same thing. With our new rules, we could let up to 7,400 inmates out next year. There's 8,000 inmates in the Minnesota prison system right now. I'm not saying they're all going to get let out next year, but they could possibly let up to 7,400 inmates out next year. So that's pretty crazy. There's people in there that are in there for some really heinous crimes. And, if you haven't, got right with God, should you be out in society? No. If you've straightened yourself out and you're good to go again, you get a second chance. People that have done things that, probably they didn't get caught and they're fine, or they're acting as a good citizen, they're a moral person. So it's tough to say exactly. It's not a yes and no question. You have to look at what the person did, and judge it as a case by case thing. But that's not what we did. It's basically now, if we feel like we want to let you out, you can get let out. And it's all about, unfortunately, it's about getting votes is what's going on right now. Let's let people out so they can vote. It doesn't matter if they're commit crime again. Let's let them out so they can vote. I know this is about the Second Amendment, so I'm not going to verge too far from that. But an example is in Minneapolis and St. Paul, you could steal a car, and it's illegal. Well, not illegal, but they have a no stop order in Minneapolis and St. Paul. If you steal a vehicle in Minneapolis and St. Paul, the police can't pull you over. So stealing vehicles in the cities or in Minneapolis and St. Paul is up like 600% or more this year because they can't pull you over. Now, if those same people are allowed to vote and get a gun, should they have a gun? Probably. I don't know if they should, because what are they going to do with that gun?
Well, to add to that also, my brother lives in St. Paul, and he was carjacked. He was a pizza delivery driver last year and a half ago. Anyway, a group of men pulled up next to his car as he was getting out to make a pizza delivery. They jumped in his car. He stepped in front of it. They hit the gas. He rode on the hood for about 300 yards and fell off, roughed him up pretty good. And the cops initiated pursuit, but immediately stopped. They never did catch who did it. and they did recover the car, thankfully, I guess, if anything. But in the very least, it was an attempted murder, along with Grand Theft Auto. And the again, I'll say the great state of Minnesota, even though we got problems with the leadership of what the leadership that we have, they're looking the other way. They're turning a blind eye to it. And it's only going to get worse before it gets better, ladies and gentlemen. So that it ties into the Second Amendment, why you need to be able to protect yourself. I don't ever advocate for hurting another human being, but you have to be able to protect yourself.
You have the right to survive.
Right.
See, in my mind, any forfeiture of your constitutional rights for a crime should come down from the judge at sentencing. It should be completely separate. Okay, if this guy shot somebody, then a separate part of their crime, their sentence is you will never be allowed to have a firearm again. And it can be done on a case-by-case basis. Every time a judge has a sentence, they will address. You know, when you get out, you regain your right to vote, have a firearm, unless it is specifically prohibited by that judge's sentencing. That's what I would like to see. Is that ever going to happen? Who knows? Now,
the problem we have with this system is Bull, is that our judicial system and it has become so politicized that you have far left advocates sitting on there that think that everybody should be let out of prison and it should be a free for all, and you have far right conservatives that think that if you get pulled over for, you know, or a felony or whatever, that you should lose all your civil rights or your constitutional rights. What happened to the society of constitutionality where we all had a middle ground where we went by the Constitution as the law of the supreme law of the land? That's the question I want to raise on the show every single week, is what happened to that? Where did we lose that, and how do we get that back?
I think it got so politicized. I mean, we see this now with judges all the time. I mean, it's just they're either one extreme or the other. There's very few judges with the wisdom of Solomon who can go down there and proclaim a just punishment for a crime. They just go one way or the other. Now, on your question earlier, Jeremy, for domestic violence, that is actually called the Lautenberg Amendment. Any case of domestic violence, you lose your rights to own a firearm or transport a firearm or ammunition, period, across the board, even if it's a misdemeanor. Been the law of the land for over like 25 years, I want to say in the 1990s. Because that's another one of the things we run into in the military. If a soldier would get busted for domestic violence, he got kicked out because he couldn't carry a firearm anymore.
So what is your opinion on that? Do you think that's right? Or is that a direct violation of your Second Amendment rights too, just because you lost your temper once? I mean, is there a program that people should be able to go through to you know, resolve that issue?
I think it needs to be a case-by-case basis. I don't believe in saying anytime this happens, this is the punishment. Because you're going to have nuances. You're going to have other issues. When you have a case of domestic violence, if you're the male, are you going to be found guilty more often than the female? Probably. I mean, you have to take into account this whole situation. That's why I don't like these across the board rules of same punishment for everything, because not every crime is exactly the same. You have to be able to take into account mitigating circumstances. And again, this is just my opinion.
And what's your opinion on that? Mr. Westenberg?
Well, I don't know if you've talked or anyone knows how judges are elected, but a lot of our liberal judges judges are appointed by the governor. So when you go into election season and you're electing a judge, you are most often just affirming the judge. So if a judge has served for, 20 years and they want to retire, they'll retire today in June. Governor Walz will appoint a new judge who's going to be a liberal judge. So the next election cycle, you'll have that judge on the ballot, and there might not be anybody running against them, because prosecutors in that judge's county, if they're going to win, aren't going to run against that judge, because now they're going to have to oppose them in court. So these appointed judges always win because they don't ever have anybody opposing them.
Nope.
Because you're not going to oppose somebody that you think is going to rule against you in the court of law. So these people are appointed, and we've had liberal governors forever. So we have appointed liberal judges a lot. I mean, they're not all that way. And judges should be following the rule of the law, not their political aspirations. And that's why, in my opinion, a judge should have a D or a R behind their name. I'm saying D or R because that's probably all that they are. So you know how they are, because that's going to be the way they're going to rule, is Democrat or Republican. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. A law you should have to follow the law. Now, it could be 5 months, 10 months. The judge gets to decide if it's 7 months, but they don't get to decide if there's zero or more time, or because they don't like the person, or because of their political aspirations, how they do it. They're supposed to follow the law, but that's not what happens, and that's another reason why we are the way we are. We have a lot of liberal judges that do what they want to do because of their political aspirations.
You know, that brings up an unrelated to the Second Amendment. But in Minnesota, in the Rochester, Minnesota area, there was a gentleman that I believe raped two young children, molested them.
Yep.
And he was sentenced to, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe 180 days in jail. And
You're wrong.
I think I'm right on.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're wrong. He got less than, he got like 3 months in prison. He molested like a nine, and I don't remember their ages, but they were 9 and 6 or something.
You're real close.
Yeah. You can molest the children and get 3 months in prison or 4 months in prison, or you can sell 5 catalytic converters and get a year in prison.
Yeah, so I brought that up because I want people to understand this is just the state of Minnesota. This is going on all over the country, especially, and I hate to say it this way because I want to remain bipartisan, but it happens in liberal state that vote liberals, California, Minnesota, New York State, Michigan. This is happening all over the country, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not trying to point my finger and make all the Democrats bad guys, because there are some good people in that party. But this is it's a continuing trend in liberal states that heavily vote liberal. Well, in Minnesota, if you look at the voting, two-thirds of the state votes red. It's the metropolitan areas, Rochester, up by Fargo, I forgot the town that's right across from Fargo, Moorhead, and the Iron Range. They all vote blue. That's the heaviest populated areas in our state. And they continue to vote for the same policies, expecting a different result, which is also a definition of insanity. Again, I'm not trying to point my fingers at a certain political party. What I am here to tell you about is the Constitution and how it's relevant for all of us, not just Republican or Democrat or constitutional independents. It's relevant for all of us because there are certain parties that are trying to walk all over that Constitution and everything that it stands for and everything that it reads, and they're trying to interpret it in their own way. And they're wrong. It's straight up, they're wrong. So we're here to tell you about it and give you examples of things that are happening in your communities, in your states. In this particular instance, this is Minnesota. And that's why we have Bull Johnson on here from the Constitutional Republic Party to help you understand what he stands for so we can start supporting, putting our support behind people that truly want what's best, not just for our state, but for everyone, for his constituents, everybody. So, and that's why I wanted Bull to be on here with me, and he graciously accepted that, and I appreciate that. Bull, do you want to add on to all this that's been talked about?
No, I mean, I think that what we're talking about is just a degradation of what happened of our country over the last 100 years. I mean, the politicalization of everything. I mean, people don't. And it's why I think we have to get rid of the political parties, really. I mean, because people are so sold on a political party that they no longer look at individuals and individual qualifications anymore. When we start talking about judges and elections on judges, how many of us actually deal with the judge? How many of us even know about the judge or what judicial districts we're even in? We don't really have anything to do with that. So a lot of times, yes, you may have a bad one get in there, but unless they're really bad and everybody in the area knows they suck, they're going to be there as long as they want to be there. And so we have to find some type of solution to this, whether it's judges have to rotate every 2 or 3 years and they can't stay in the same area or what, I don't know. But yeah, we definitely have to. There's a lot in our judicial system that needs to be redone, and that's probably a whole another episode.
Well, I tell you, we have a pretty much. I mean, we have to. I allot three hours to every one of our radio shows, but here's the kicker on that. I have like unlimited time that we can schedule radio shows all the way out through the week. And if you guys or any of you listeners think that you have content to add to listeners about the state of affairs in our country, you're more than welcome to get a hold of me and we'll discuss it. And I'll put you on a night. I have nothing to lose. The truth matters more to me than anything. Even though sometimes my truth is even distorted, and I have to be set right. Mr. Bull Johnson has helped me with that a couple times.
and remember, we do have the 4th and the 5th Amendment coming up in the next few weeks, which is going to really give us the time to drill down on our judicial system.
I plead the 5th. But Mr. Wesenberg, is that how you pronounce your name, Wesenberg?
Wiesenberg.
Wiesenberg. I apologize. You're welcome to call in whatever you feel like calling in. We're on every Monday, every Tuesday night. If you have something to discuss or you want your constituents to hear your take on anything that we're discussing, you're more than welcome to call in, and I'll gladly put you on the air with us. It's been an honor to have you on here and to have an actual representative of the great state of Minnesota. I'm from Southwest Minnesota, and it's nice to have. I've had Representative Munson on, and it's really nice to have actual representatives on and people that have ran for political office, so you can hear so the audience can hear in Minnesota exactly what it is people stand for in our state and who you have representing you, and they can give you their honest opinions and thoughts of what is actually happening. With that being said, Wiesenberg, it's Mr. Wiesenberg, right? Wiesenberg.
Mr. Wiesenberg.
Wiesenberg. Like a
Wiesen. Mr. Wiesen.
Wiesen.
Jeez, yeah. I tell you what, give me another 3 hours, I'll get it right. Mr. Wiesenberg, what else would you like to add tonight to this show involving the Second Amendment?
You know, the Second Amendment, and I talked about this on the floor, so it's senator, not that that matters, because I don't think it does, because I think we're all equal, and it's hard to, you know, people are like, oh, hi, Senator, which is fine, but we're all the same, and, you know, we're elected to be the voice of the people. So I'm your senator, but you're telling me what I need to say. I obviously have, you know, my background and my beliefs, but that's why I got elected, because we're similar. But with the Second Amendment, you know, I've got three kids. My daughters are 11, 9, and 7, and they all started shooting when they were 3 or 4 years old with the BB gun. And, you know, you teach them don't shoot at anything that you don't know what you're shooting at, or you start shooting at targets, obviously, but you have kids start with a BB gun with no BBs in it, and you teach them how to properly handle it, and teach them that it is dangerous if you don't properly handle a gun, but it is, as long as they know what they're doing. So that's, you know, what you do. You start there, and you eventually move up and teach them not to shoot if they don't know what's behind what they're shooting at, and teach people not to be afraid of guns. And I think that's some of what we're dealing with is people are afraid of guns. They've never touched a gun. They've never seen a gun. We've got people in the other party that this thing came up this year, and they said, oh, rifles can shoot 3 miles. I'm like, I shoot a 270, and if I'm shooting at a deer at 250 yards and I aim a little high, it's going to hit the dirt at 400. If I aim low, it's hitting the dirt before that. There's no way in hell my bullet's going 3 miles if I'm holding my gun at an animal at even 1,000 yards. It's either going to fall way short or barely get there. So this thing came up saying guns can shoot forever. So a bunch of Democrats got scared that I'm saying Democrat. I'm a Republican. I'm a conservative person. But you know, our Democrat party doesn't understand that it's not the gun. It's the person. Be afraid of guns. Get guns in people's hands and let them shoot. Teach them how to properly handle a firearm, and they're not harmful. They're not harmful. They're firearms. They're tools. They're things we use to hunt and, you know, gather food and to protect yourselves. And you can load a gun, put it on your counter. It'll sit there for a million years. Nobody touches it. It will never go off. It will never shoot anybody. That gun can only shoot someone if it's in the hands of someone who is willing to do somebody harm. And if they're going to do that, it's not the gun, it's the person. And that's our message, is guns aren't the problem, but there are people that haven't been raised around them and they're just afraid. So if we can try to get people to understand that the guns aren't bad, but you can't just throw a gun in someone's hands and show that. You have to teach them how to properly use them. And they'll get there. Okay, and in Minnesota, things sound doom and gloom. It's not that bad. I mean, it sucks. I don't like what's going on when I'm at work, but nationwide, we're not doing bad. So we just gotta keep on fighting and not get down. And you know, there's people out there fighting for you, and that's it. You know, keep on doing what you're doing. And people aren't paying attention to what's going on every day in St. Paul. I'm there because that's where I work. But, you know, your taxes are going to go up. You're going to get mad, and you're going to vote a different way next time, hopefully. And that'll help with a lot of these issues. So
Senator, would it be fair to say then, based off of what you just said, that maybe Minnesotans really need to start looking at criminal reform and being a little bit more tough on the violent crimes and repeat offenders? Obviously, in my opinion, ladies and gentlemen, just again, my opinion, I'm very opinionated, but our current AG, Keith Ellison, has been very soft on crime, and it really seems like Governor Walz is allowing that to happen. And so in your opinion, Senator, what Would it be fair to say that we need major criminal reform in the state of Minnesota?
I'd say absolutely correct. You know, if people are repeat offenders, they've done something. We've got a guy, you know, we just talked about stealing cars in the cities. They've stole a car over 50 times, and they've got nothing on their record. Well, that's Grand Theft Auto, 50 times. I mean, that would be something that would probably put you in jail forever, but we don't prosecute it. So if you're doing something really bad a lot, you need to be put away. Now, if you jaywalked, you probably don't need to be slapped on the wrist and thrown in jail for 3 months. They don't do it again. But if you're a bad, if you've done something bad a lot, there needs to be, you need to suffer the consequences, but we're not even doing that. We're just soft on crime all around. And then we're politicizing the criminal justice system. And if you're a person that, say, the AG doesn't like and they want to make a model out of you, they throw the book at you, try to take your life away, and you've really actually done nothing wrong. And that's not okay. So we're making criminals out of law-abiding citizens, and we're letting criminals go.
Yeah, so I wanted to have the audience hear that straight out of the senator's mouth, because I have believed that, and I've been preaching that for quite some time. I don't have the influence that I'd like to have, because I think people have lost their way. They listen to the mainstream media, and they listen to the song and dance by politicians that just gaslight you. And there's a bigger problem and a bigger issue here that people are just not paying attention to. And it's the fact that our Constitution is completely being ignored and trampled on at every turn. And it's not just one party, but a good majority of it is from one party. But I just wanted to say that. But in closing on that, Senator Wiesenberg, I appreciate you calling in. It's always good to have somebody that's actually in office explain what's going on in the great state of Minnesota. And again, I offer you an extended welcome to come back to the show anytime. Every Tuesday night we're on. If you have something to add to the conversation that we're discussing, you're more than welcome to come on.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for coming on, Nate. Good brother.
What, Bull? What? Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, well, I heard you were on, so I had to come and bullshit. Oh, if I can say that word, BS with you.
Yeah, you can. You can.
Okay.
It's uncensored.
All right. Well, so.
All right, Senator Wiesenberg, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and hopefully we get to talk to you again in the near future.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Ben.
All right, everybody, that was Senator Wiesenberg in Minnesota, and that's really good to have a representative come on, a senator, a state senator come on and speak his mind and his views about our Constitution. It's an honor to have actually, it's an honor to co-host a radio show with Bull. I've stood with Bull a couple different times, and a man that has integrity and has ran for office, and then we have a senator that calls in. It's a good thing to hear what your elected representatives and what your potential elected representatives are talking about and thinking and how they interpret the Constitution. So that's why it's so important to me that we have this radio show, we have our voice, and we have, you know, Bull on here every week giving you his explanation of how he interprets the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, all the Constitution. And it's a good thing, and I hope you guys share this radio show out. Just copy and paste the link and let people listen to this. They can listen to people being honest and being truthful. And, you know, like when the senator said, you know, bullshit. Oh, that's just him being real. And that's what we need more of in our politics, is people being real, not worrying about, oh, I might have offended three people. when 97 people might have agreed with me. You know what I mean?
And that's the thing I always loved about Nate. I mean, we ran into each other at a couple different campaign events, and we ran into each other at a concert at the Red Hot Chili Peppers concert a couple weeks ago. And it's just great because when you deal and when you see Nate, the guy you see in public is the same guy you see in private. He's real. What you see is what you get. That's the same thing I always wanted to be when I was running for office, and I tell people, hey, what you see with us is what you get. And there's so many politicians who are not like that. So it's so great to see people like that actually getting elected, being able to get up there and be themselves and speak from the heart. And I think that's a lot of what Nate does. I mean, there's a couple things we may disagree with a little bit on, but for the most part, me and Nate are on the same sheet of music on a lot of things. And I do really think when we start talking about our Second Amendment, a lot of things we talked about tonight are things that need to be discussed. How does a criminal record affect your right to exercise your rights under the Second Amendment? Should it be one size fits all? Should it be individual sentences by a judge to determine whether you should or not, and then you can later appeal if you think something has changed, rather than a blanket party, no matter what, you're screwed. I mean, that's something I said earlier. I'd really like to see individual sentences include any forfeiture of your rights has to be addressed separately instead of just no matter what. Even for the Lautenberg Amendment, but unfortunately that's federal law right now. That, I mean, if you're in any type of domestic violence, and you know what, 99% of them probably shouldn't have weapons. Still, that 1 or 2% is that should we be taking away their rights if they may not be in that same type of category? Not that I would ever defend somebody who is, how do I put it?
Well, let me just jump in here. There's one thing I can agree with you on, and most other people. Repeat offenders that are repeat violent offenders, especially using a firearm, should not be afforded the Second Amendment right because they're obviously abusing it. But like Bull said, a case-per-case basis, we have to use a little common sense, which our government seems to have just, they lost that a long time ago. They issue laws, mandates, and regulations constantly as a one-size-fits-all solution, when that's just not, it's not reasonable, and it's not sustainable. We have to be able to look at things on a case-by-case basis, and we have to have a judicial system that is impartial. We cannot have this partisan judicial system where one judge says it's okay, and the next judge says, you know, we're going to throw him in prison for 40 years. There's got to be a happy medium involving all judges, not just one side or the other. So, and that's kind of why we're doing this. Go ahead, Jen.
I do kind of believe that if somebody commits a violent crime. With a firearm, they should definitely lose their rights, firearm. You've had your right, you've used that right, you don't get it anymore.
At least for a period of time, like a first offense, like, okay, you made a bad mistake, a really poor judgment call, whatever you want to call it. It 10 years. Say you lost it for 10 years. Next time, if I hope to God there ain't a next time, but not only are you going to lose your Second Amendment right, but you're also going to go to prison for a very long time because I gave you a chance because you messed up the first time. You know, if there's some kind of common sense, that's all.
Well, because here's the fact of the matter, though, is, okay, they committed a violent crime with a gun. They get out. We tell them you're not allowed a gun anymore. If they're going to commit another crime, they're probably going to find a gun somewhere.
Right.
Is it actually going to stop? slow them down just a little bit. But as long as there's a black market, they're still going to find one.
So like that basically goes back to major criminal reform, justice,
yep.
judicial reform. Like we have to start sentencing these people to make them think like, oh, man, if I go and do this, I'm going to go away for 10 years. Like, think about
yeah.
that for a second. You want to go away for 10 years? I don't.
Yeah,
so
time,
I'm not going to go and go ahead.
If we're going to put them in there so long that they lose all hope, what's to prevent them from getting worse? I think you have to give people the hope of redemption unless they're very obviously just a bad, bad person.
It's a big discussion that nobody seems to want to have. They just want to throw away the key and forget about them, or they just want to let them off and forget about them until they commit the next crime. So we have to have some kind of a middle ground on all levels, no matter what political aisle you stand on. We have to discuss this and come up with a common sense solution to this. And I don't have all those answers. I wish I did. I have, on a different note, I have seen these prisons that where they send some of these guys to prison that are, okay, let me just stop for a second and take a breath and then explain this to you. There are prisons out there to get guys back into society. They live in pods that are almost like apartments, where they're expected to clean up their apartment. They have a couch and they have a chair, and they're like roommates. It's to make them, help them assimilate. What do you call that? What's that word? Assimilate to a society?
Yeah, back into society.
Yeah, and they're criminals that get put in this facility for the remainder of their sentence, usually a year or two, and they're not treated like animals. I've read a lot about this in different other countries where instead of treating criminals like they're animals, locked in a cage for 23 hours a day, and, you know, even though they've committed heinous crimes, try to treat them like they're human beings that made a really bad mistake. And I cannot remember which country this is that does it, but their reoffending rate is one of the lowest reoffending rates in the world. And I do know that we do have those facilities available here in the United States, and they also have low of reoffending rates. The ones, like Bull just said, the ones that treat criminals like they're animals, like people that you made a mistake, but no, we're going to treat you like an animal, have very high reoffending rates. So there is an answer to this madness. We just have to look at the statistics, and we have to have honest conversations. There are some people out there, though, that I'm going to say this, they're probably not a fit for society, unfortunately.
Yep.
And I hate to say it that way, but that's the cold, hard facts. But there's a lot more in prison right now that realize they made a mistake as soon as that judge sentenced them to 20 years in prison. And they get into prison, and they spend 20 years in prison thinking, man, I really wish I had a second chance. And those are the guys that you want to get into those facilities to treat them like a human being again, to make them realize, yeah, you made a mistake. You're going to come back here again. It's going to be worse. But we're going to try to help you be a part of a society. So, but that's a whole other show. But I get off on a tangent sometimes. But Bull, what are you in closing thoughts? We went quite a bit longer than what we usually do, but in closing thoughts, what would you like to say about our conversation tonight about the Second Amendment?
Well, I we touched a little bit on this on some of the prior shows. I'm not sure if we covered it last week or not. When we start talking about the Second Amendment, we also have to Bull in how we exercise our rights through the Second Amendment. We have to be aware that other people may not be comfortable. They may be scared if we're out there open carrying, exercising our rights to the Second Amendment. And And people who are scared can act in stupid ways. And having people scared is contrary to what we want to accomplish. We don't want people out there being scared because they see somebody with a firearm. We want people who are comfortable around firearms, because if they're comfortable around them, they're not going to be the ones trying to take those rights away. So we have to be judicious in our exercise of those rights. Keep in mind, not just because we can does not always mean we should, and be able to tell the difference between the two. I mean, if, say, Minnesota went to constitutional carry, is it a smart idea to walk around downtown Minneapolis with an AR sling to our shoulder? Probably not. You're probably going to freak a lot of people out, which you would only want to do if you were an asshole, let's face it. just trying to make a point, just to make a point, but not to accomplish anything. So I think that's one of the things we have to understand is a lot of people who are on the other side of us on the Second Amendment, and it behooves us to remember that they are scared and to try to address the concerns. I mean, and I think we have to really dig down deeper to find out what is our issues with gun violence. I mean, I've always kind of postulated that a lot of the issues we have right now with mass shootings is because we stopped letting kids fail. So now when they are a young adult, they fail, they're ostracized, they don't know how to handle it. They've always gotten the participation trophies. They've never been taught how to deal with failure. So when they do fail, they lash out. They're hurt. They want other people to hurt. So I really think that's one of the reasons why so many mass shootings have picked up in the 2000s, is because my generation, as parents, screwed up. Because so many of my generations did the kinder, gentler mentality rather than holding kids accountable if they messed up. They were too worried about their kids' esteem. We can't hurt their esteem. And kids sometimes needed that tough love that they didn't get, because that's what helps to adapt, to grow, be able to handle negativity. And I really think we need to take a long, long, harder look on that. But it's so hard to do because the people who have been preaching that for 30 or 40 years don't want to ever admit they were wrong. It's just like the dietitians who swore forever that it was fat that made you fat, not a lot of carbohydrates, not healthy fats. I mean, it's just, they preach this for so long, it's going to take a long time to get people to reevaluate. But if we want to keep our Second Amendments, we have to acknowledge the people who have fears and try to address them without just going, you're stupid, or you just don't believe in the Constitution. Understand that they're speaking out of fear. And the only way we're going to change their mind is to convince them there is nothing, or there's a lot less to be. There's more to fear about losing our weapons than there are the losses of people keeping their weapons. If that makes any sense.
No, it absolutely does. we've created a society of, I want to say this nicely. You know me, Bull, that you know what word I was going to put out of my mouth, but I got to stop myself.
Yep.
we've created a society of, well, you pretty much hit the nail on the head. People that cannot cope with an outcome that they didn't want. The participation trophies, this, that, however you want to put it. Tough love, like Bull has brought up, you have to let a person fail in order for them to achieve. Once you fail, it gives you a drive. It's given me a drive. But I come from a generation where my dad and my mom told me, You know, you're not going to be the winner. There's always going to be somebody better than you. You have to push yourself in order to be a better, you know, a better competitor, or you know, however you want to put it. Now we're letting I better not even go into this. I want to stick to the subject, the Second Amendment. We have to defend our Constitution at all costs. So let me just switch gears here for just a second. I forget that I'm not on my Thursday night radio show. We have to switch gears here for a second and remember that our Constitution was written by people that just got done fighting a tyrannical government. And they had everything in mind when they wrote the Bill of Rights, and they amended the Constitution in 1791 to pertain to fighting a tyrannical government. That was their mindset. And that Constitution, that sacred document, has held since 1791. 1776 is when they had the fireworks show, July 4th, coming up. So, ladies and gentlemen, I need you to think, and I want you to think very, very carefully, not about the things you hear in mainstream media, but about the founding documents of this country that made this country the greatness, the absolute, I can't even describe it, how great this country is for as long as it's been, and all of the blood spilled by brave patriot men and women throughout over 240 years to defend that Constitution and that American flag. You need to really think about that deep. Not about your feelings, because it's not about your feelings. It's about everybody's fundamental rights, God-given rights, and the constitutional rights. And that is why me and Bull are doing this radio show, to help you and help us inform everybody and each other on what our rights are and what that document states, and how can we protect that at all costs,
well,
peacefully.
And to highlight that, and I'm this is actually going to probably jump forward a couple of weeks, but look at today when we deal with our people who are picked up or questioned or arrested or spoken to by the police. You have a right to remain silent. Over the last 200 years, so many people have given up that right to remain silent when being questioned, that we have now gotten to the point that if we exercise that right to remain silent, we're now automatically assumed to be guilty because we are exercising our constitutional right. When everybody else is being free to speak, you choose not to speak, you must have something to hide. So to a certain extent, we have lost that right to remain silent, because once we exercise it, we are now almost assuming a title of guilt, the assumption of guilt, because we are choosing to exercise that right. Do we ever want to get to the point where our Second Amendment rights are seen the same way? That when we don't want to give up our right, that people are going to assume that we mean to use that right for a hostile act. When we say,
and,
no,
and we're
I don't
gonna
want
get,
to give up our right, assume it's because I want to do something evil with it.
Correct. And we're going to get into all of this, ladies and gentlemen. That's why it's so important that you tune in, because every week it's going to be, you know, the first week was the First Amendment. We discussed that. This week it was the Second Amendment. And again, thank you to Senator Wiesenberg for calling in. Thank you very much. But we're going to go to the Third Amendment next week, and we're going to go right on down the line until we get through the whole Constitution. And we're going to, there might be some weeks where we will have to extend, you know, we might get into the Third Constitution and we don't hit on every point. We might have to extend that to the next week. We're going to get into this as deep as we possibly can.
Next week, they're going to need to combine the Third and the Fourth Amendment. Because I'm not sure how long we're going to have to talk about quartering soldiers.
Oh, the Third and the Fourth?
Well, yeah, because the Third is they can't force us to quarter soldiers.
Yeah.
I don't think
that's
ever come up in the last 100 years.
No, you know, you're right. And see, those are things that me and Bo will talk about in private. And you know, we might combine, you know, two amendments together. We might combine three. We might have, you know, the Second and the 14th. We'll get through all of it. But it's very important that you tune in and listen to what we're discussing. So if anything, just to trigger your thought process, your critical thinking abilities, realize, you know, what the mainstream media is telling you and what the actual Constitution tells you. You hit on something, and I don't want to take up too much more of your time either, Bo. But you know, constitutional practices, the stop and frisk law. What happened to your right to walk freely down the street without being harassed by law enforcement? I mean, and those are things that we're going to get into later on down the line here. Questionable things that lawmakers, governors, senators, congressmen have supported and allowed to happen throughout our history, especially in the last 20 to 30 years, on both sides of the political aisle. So I ask all of you to please share us out, copy and paste the link to this show, and let everybody know that this is our discussion on here, and that anybody is more than welcome to call in, just like Senator Weisenberg tonight called in and shared his thoughts and opinions. Write down this phone number. This is the same phone number every single week, and it's 516-387-1733. And when you get through, just tell your friends you have to press the number one. Lets me know on the switchboard that you want to get through. We'll put you through. You don't have to agree with us. You might have a whole different view on it. That's good. A civil discussion is really good, and that's what we've lost. So please, 516-387-1733 is the phone number to call. Press the number one. And again, please copy and paste this link and share it to your friends, Facebook, Twitter, wherever, whatever social media platform you're on. In the meantime, I want you to go to Twitter and follow Bull Johnson at capital C, lowercase O, S, capital R, lowercase E, P, capital U, S, cons rep, U, S. That will put you at Twitter's.
That's our Twitter for our political party, the Constitutional Republic. My Twitter is TravisBullJohn1.
Yes, and so either one, if you put the at symbol TravisBullJohn1 or at ConsRepUS, that'll help you follow Travis. And also on Facebook, you can follow Travis Bull Johnson, Homestead and Politics. That's on Facebook. And you can follow me on Twitter at Disrespected The, and on Facebook, The Disrespected Trucker personal blog. And we'll share our link out to I'll share my link out to my radio shows Tuesday and Thursday nights on every one of my platforms. And Bull will join us every Tuesday night as a host on The Constitutionalist, and we'll discuss the Constitution every single Tuesday night. Get your thoughts and opinions. Make your voice heard. Call in. Ask questions. Share your thoughts. That's all we ask. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us tonight. And one more time, thank you to Senator Weisenberg out of Minnesota for joining us tonight and sharing your thoughts and opinion on the Second Amendment. And first and foremost, Travis, thank you for allowing me to be a part of a wonderful blog talk radio program involving somebody trying to change this country with positivity and according to the Constitution, involving the Constitutional Republic Party.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for all the work together, man. Without you, it wouldn't be possible. So I appreciate it very
much. All
right,
brother.
I appreciate tuning in. If you follow this show every week, you're going to know what the Constitutional Republic Party is all about. That is what I'm hoping a lot of y'all who come on here will realize.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. All you have to do is tune in. Share us out. Let people hear that they have another choice. It's not just the D's and it's not just the R's in politics. There are other people out here that are trying to make a difference. I'm not calling Republicans bad or Democrats bad. I'm just saying that our system has been set up against us in some sense, in some ways. And there's people like Travis Bull Johnson that is trying to make a difference, but he definitely needs your support. And so, again, please share us out, and we will catch you guys all again next Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Central on The Constitutionalist. And if you want to tune in on Thursday nights, just go to the Disrespected Trucker Talk Radio Network on blogtalkradio.com, and you'll get every one of our episodes, all pre-recorded, or not pre-recorded, but all recorded after the fact, and you can listen to every single one of our episodes. So if you missed our First Amendment talk last week, you can go back on there and listen to last week's. And every one of our episodes will be put onto Spotify for your listening pleasure. And, again, please tune in, share us out, and help us protect this sacred document, the supreme law of the land called the Constitution, here on The Constitutionalist on Tuesday nights at 6 p.m. Central. Have a great night, everybody, and God bless.